5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So there's some changes that are underway that could really change. The federal government want to make this happen, could really change the way that we buy cars in Australia. We did have an Australian car manufacturing industry, but by the year 2017, that will be absolutely kaput. And with the change to things like luxury car tax, which is also being proposed, we could very well see a time when we go online, we order the exact car that we want, and sure, there might be places we can take a test drive, but we go online, we pick out the sort of car we want, we pay for it, click the button, then we wait for a couple of weeks, turns up on a boat, we turn up at a depot somewhere, not a car dealership, and we grab the car. Economist at the New South Wales University Business School is on the line, Tim Harcourt, who was also part of the BRACS review into the Australia's automotive industry. Tim, thanks for your time.
Great pleasure being with you. Thank you.
Did I explain that all right? I mean, is that the direction we're going?
Well, that's basically it. I mean, the car industry got goaded out of business, really, told to leave, in a sense.
Yeah.
And once you don't have a local car industry, then why would you stop Australian consumers buying cars overseas at, you know, at whatever price and design they can get? So I think that's part of the story. Although the majors are gone, there will be component makers around as well.
Yeah, okay. Is it going to have to change? I mean, is this just an idea that's time has come and there's no way of stopping it? I mean, what would be the argument against it here?
Well, I suppose the question would be, do you need it? We've got some component makers that are still important. To what value would it add? You'd probably say that you give more consumers choice. Some would say, why don't you go and have the import ban on second-hand cars lifted as well as they do in Europe? But, you know, who's going to buy second-hand cars from overseas? I wouldn't have thought it'd be worth the while to get them here, but that's a possibility as well.
What would be some of the pitfalls to buying cars for Australia, for the economy? What would be the pitfall of ordering online, buying online, the car turns up, you know, at some depot near a port and we drive it away? What would be the issue for Australia?
Well, my old grandfather used to say to me, always buy Holden because you can always get the parts.
Okay.
And that was an adage that was with us in Australia, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
Commonwealth, drive Holden and all the rest.
Yeah.
But I think to some degree, you'd have to assume you get pretty good after-sales service too. I mean, one reason that someone might want to buy a car from, you know, if you live in Kensington, you want to buy it from Rosebery, is so you can get around the corner and get it serviced, and when something goes wrong, you 5 minutes walk away to go and bring it in. But if you buy your car from overseas, then you're going to have to do it all pretty much virtually, aren't you?
Yeah.
So that could be, you know, that's probably a decision. It's not impossible. I no doubt you could call the, you know, the car dealership overseas, but obviously it's often better to go local.
So if we're going to have cars imported like this, I mean, what happens with the import tariff? What happens with things like the luxury car tax?
Well, I think the government's going to reform them. I mean, from what I can see, the statements are that if we don't have a local industry like New Zealand don't have, then all those things need to go. I don't know whether they want to affect the luxury car tax or not, because you know, they're looking for sources of revenue at the moment, and that'd be a pretty good one. And I imagine the present government wouldn't want to harm its constituency,
yeah,
where most luxury cars are bought.
Is this a bit sad, or is it all just it was always going to happen?
I don't
from the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, I don't think this part of it's sad. I mean, I think the part of it's sad was when those remaining car makers were goaded into closing.
Yeah.
Because when I was on the Brax Review, I mean, GM told me that Australia had the best design skills in the world in South Australia and Victoria, and Toyota said that they had a fantastic plant. So, you know, it was well beyond tariff policy, and they had high regard for Australia. So I was just surprised with the campaign to get the car industry to leave. I think it was an article of faith with some people that they just wanted to see him go because of what the car industry symbolised.
What's it going to mean for dealers? I mean, a dealer is not going to want to stop being a dealer. They're going to want to try and be a middleman. Do you think there's a fight to be had? Are they going to be trying to... Are they the next lot to go?
Bit like taxis and Uber, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's certainly pressure on them. And I think even, especially when Toyota had a strong presence in Australia and Holden did, I think people had some affinity with the dealerships, just as they did when they supported Holden or Ford at Bathurst.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be quite a different relationship. So the dealers will have to work a lot harder. So it'll be a lot about the personal service rather than just the brand of the car.
Tim, thanks for the chat. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. Tim Harcourt, the economist and straight talker too at the University of New South Wales Business School.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.